changing me, changing me. His image and likeness to perfect in me the love of God shown to the world. This is a course to a song that my grandma loved. While I was with my grandpa this past week, he continued to share my grandma's love for the Lord with another of her favorite verses, and that is Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The song and the scripture are an example of the love and relationship I had the pleasure of sharing with my grandma. For me, this represents looking into one's eyes and seeing the Lord within ourselves to help us get through. There are countless memories I will cherish forever. Thank you, Grandma, for guiding me and shaping me into the woman I am today. You were always there. And thank you, Lord, for continuing to watch over us all. I love you, Grandma. May you now rest peacefully in the garden.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing those thoughts and memories. So now I'll take opportunity for an open mic time. If you want to share briefly thoughts or memory. And Jerry did mention the fact that there's actually a trap door up here. So as you're going on, if it's going on a little too long, somebody will pull the cord. So just to be forewarned. Nevertheless, be brave. Step up. Share a memory of Gladys if you're so inclined.
Can you hear me? Okay. I just want to let you know what a joy it was every time Gladys came to visit me. She used to love to sit and watch me play games on my tablet. I had it posted to the TV for her, and we would laugh and sing and talk for hours. And it was just so much fun to have her around.
Mostly you, Jerry. I had a tremendous honor and a privilege to serve with Jerry and Gladys at Loaves and Fishes for quite a period of time. I was a volunteer and I was also an employee of Loaves and Fishes. And in those formidable years as I served under their mentorship, God shaped and molded me into a person that now pursues God fervently. And I just have a tremendous gratitude in my heart for the outpouring of not only your love, but your patience, your understanding, and your care for me over the years. And I always used to remember Gladys. She'd look at me and she'd say, "Sonny, you're such a cheeky little monkey." And that was her favorite little saying for me. So,
thank you.
I had the privilege to know Gladys when she was coming to our church. And every time I would see Jerry and Gladys coming to church, it will fill me with joy because I just know how they love Jesus. And Jerry, you would come here once in a while and you will play your guitar and you would sing the old hymns. And the whole hymns are my favorite too. And I want to thank you that those hymns bring us directly to to heaven when you play them. And thank you for doing that for us. And thank you for to love Jesus so much and to share Jesus so much. And thank you that every time I would see you, you will speak French to me and you will make me giggle. And thank you for that too.
Thanks to those who share. No doubt you're thinking of something you could share, and we'll have opportunity later on visiting with the family over some goodies to share some of those memories that come to mind. As we continue, we're going to sing another hymn, Stand and Lead Us, in The Old Rugged Cross. The Old Rugged Cross.
Oh, we're standing already. Why don't we just sit for a sec? Oh, just sit. There we go. Because you see, I didn't have a chance to talk, so I knew I was coming to the mic. I'm gonna, right here. Gladys, there we go. Give me one second here. Gladys was an amazing woman of God. And one of the memories I have lots of memories of Gladys, but just a memory of sitting around your table. I don't know how many times we did that and prayed together. I'm guessing it was, 100 or more. And Gladys had the real ability to make you feel loved. That if, when I think about Gladys, I was laying in bed last night just remembering her. And, that's one of the best things I can think about her, is that she made me really feel like she loved me. Sometimes people say they love you, but they don't really love you. Gladys would say that she loves you, or maybe they do love you, but they don't make you feel like it. Gladys had a way of just making you know that it was true. And she'd say, I love you and I care about you. And sometimes she'd say it with, a frog in her throat. And it was just real. Everything about Gladys was authentic. And I think if you knew her, and most of us did, you'd say that was true. She was authentic. Gladys was the real deal. And she laughed at Jerry's jokes, which... in itself, showed that she was a woman of grace and mercy. So often Jerry would and I would talk about how we got wives that were much better than we deserved, but that we're going to keep them. And Gladys was one of those special people. So, we're here today because we want to remember her. We're here today to speak about how she contributed to our lives, about how well she loved. Man, if you guys only knew how many times we talked about you as family and we prayed for you, and when a little baby was born or when a great-granddaughter or when the twins were born or, that kind of thing, we would just hear about that and we would pray. And she prayed and she prayed and Jerry prayed and prayed for you and prayed for your joy and for your happiness and for your relationship with Jesus. That was always so important. So we're going to sing a song of the cross, the old rugged cross. This is one of the good old ones, and pretty soon you will be able to stand up, so thanks for being patient with me. Without this song, without the truth of this song, there wouldn't be any reason to be joyful today. We would all be moping around and thinking there's no hope, and we just lost somebody, and life is dismal. But life is not dismal. We are not like those who have no hope. Amen? Let me say that again. We are not like those who have no hope. Amen? Amen. We have great hope because of the cross. So now let's stand and let's sing it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I'd see. For 'twas on the old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen.
Thanks, Dan, for leading us. Barney and I have known Jerry and Gladys for about 28 years. It's easy to remember because we got to know them and their family back in Stettler. It was the fall before our daughter Michelle was born, so we remember well the occasion. We often refer to Jerry and Gladys as our oldest friends, or more accurately, the friends we've had for the longest time. All of you who know Jerry and Gladys would know them as faithful friends. Kept up with Jerry and Gladys throughout the years, getting together for coffee and over a meal, sharing stories of the work of the ministry, the goodness of God, and sharing about our family and how they're doing and so on. We so appreciated Jerry and Gladys and their faithful prayers for us, for our family over the years. How surprised and saddened we were to hear of Gladys's sudden passing last Saturday night. We had shared a coffee together with Jerry and Gladys a couple of weeks before that. We loved to visit them, and we often commented on their deep love and trust in God and their faithful service. I'm going to read a few verses today from John chapter 11, 23 to 26. Here Jesus is talking to Martha at the death of her brother Lazarus. John 11, 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Amen. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Here Jesus tells us that death is not the end. In fact, Jesus rose again, and so too we have the hope of the resurrection. In our society, it's very difficult to talk about death. But we know that Jesus himself spoke often on the subject of death. You read through the Gospels. In fact, one of the main messages of the Bible is that now through Jesus, the fear of death has been broken. Death is the last enemy we face. Yes, the enemy still has power, but his power has been broken because of Jesus' resurrection. Still, as we come face to face with the reality of death, something deep inside says, this is not right. We were made for something more. The Bible tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. We were made for eternity. We will live forever somewhere. So when we get down to the end of our life, and that time comes for all of us, where do we turn? What do we count on? We're reminded by Solomon, a wise king in the Old Testament, who said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We're told in Hebrews that there's an appointment that we have, that we will all die. It's an appointment we'll all keep. It's important to realize as we go through life, there is only a very few things that really matter. And we know from Gladys's life, she chose those things that matter most. You can see that in a number of ways. For one, Gladys loved her family. How important family is. Over the years, the Hunts have gathered for many, many family occasions, and we've had the good fortune of joining and being included in some of them. The years have gone by. I know a number of grandkids have stayed with Jerry and Gladys over the years. How great getting special attention from Grandma and Grandpa. We kept up with Jerry and Gladys. When we hear of them getting together for a special occasion, birthday or anniversary, I know they were trying to encourage their kids and pray for them, often through challenging and difficult times in life. How important it is to gain support from one another, loving parents and grandparents, and I know the kids returned that favor to encourage their parents as well in many, many ways. Notice that over the years, as people get older, their family seems to become even more important. You know, that was true for Gladys. We would get together. They would show pictures of a new addition to the family, something that was happening in someone's life, and we'd take time to pray together for some of those needs or to give thanks for God's goodness. Jerry, it's good to see your love and care for Gladys, especially as she needed more care in the last while. Your marriage is a great picture of a partnership, how you loved and served each other and together served many, many others beyond. And even as I was thinking about this, often mentioning Jerry and Gladys together, just because you were always together, serving and showing Christ's love, what great partners in life. Gladys was certainly a faithful, loving wife. Keep on praying for our brother Jerry and for the family in these difficult days, for Jerry to know God's comfort and strength, to know God's presence in the days and weeks ahead. To the Hunt girls, how much your mom loved you. How difficult it is to lose a loving mother and grandmother for your children. You know, for each of the kids and the grandkids, how much Gladys loved you as well. Certainly were special to her and how often she prayed for you. We personally counted to personally counted Jerry and Gladys as adoptive grandparents for our kids, and so we're thankful for the interest and the prayers they prayed for our kids as well. Another priority for Gladys in her life was friendships. There's a proverb that says, if you want to have friends, you need to show yourself friendly. That was certainly true for Jerry and Gladys. It showed up many times, but I know when we visited them at the Loaves and Fishes, we saw how they reached out to so many. They knew everybody who came by and were friendly in visiting and welcoming of all those. I can remember also times back in Stettler, we would gather together with the Hunts and we would sit at the Lakeside Cottage. It was really just a garage by any other name. It was a couch or a chair there and a great place to sit and visit. We have a friendly, warm environment, maybe a hot dog over the fire. And even I want to say welcome and thanks for coming. It shows a testament of Gladys's and Jerry's love for you just to see the many people gathered here today and how much they loved and cared for people along the way. How important it is to build friendships. And as I was thinking about it, even Gladys in the hospital in Edmonton, we visited a few times. Gladys always had an interest in other people. How are you doing? How's it going? Took an interest in others, rarely complained. Instead, Jerry and Gladys were always showing hope and grace, thankful attitude. Very positive and encouraging of others. How important it is to have friends as we go through life. So Gladys, she had a good emphasis on family and friends, but also faith, as was mentioned, was a priority for Gladys. It's certainly critical, especially in the face of death. It's through faith and confidence in God that we can have hope even in very difficult times. Faith gives us the assurance that there is more to life than the world that we see around us. Some would have us believe that faith has little to do with real life, but in fact, faith makes a difference in very difficult circumstances. It's good to remember that to simply believe in God is not sufficient for personal faith. In the Bible, belief is an action word. We all need to come to the place where we invite Jesus to come into our life, ask him to forgive us and to change us on the inside. A few pages over in John chapter 14, Jesus tells us, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we trusting in? For some might be material things or their own abilities or a wise friend. But how important it is to trust in Christ, because we're told in Matthew chapter 7, it says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find the narrow road that leads to heaven. Most people, Jesus said, are on the broad road that leads to destruction. So we want to be sure that we're on the right road as we live this life. The Bible tells us that Jesus was God come in the flesh to show us the way, to open the way. So who or what are we trusting in? Jesus is the only way, the only road, the only possibility. Jesus lived here for some 33 years. Then on the cross he died to pay for our sins. So we need to realize who Jesus is, what he has done. Say yes, count me in. I'm recognizing that Christ died for me. I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I accepted what he has done for me on the cross. Gladys had made her peace with God. She was confident that heaven would be her eternal home and that she was trusting in Jesus. Anyone who watched her life could see the changes taking place in Gladys's life over the years. Thankfully, heaven isn't for perfect people. There are no perfect people. Gladys was a wonderful lady, but we can't hope to get to heaven by being a good person. Truth be told, we're all sinful and guilty before God. Heaven is only for those who've been forgiven through Jesus. And that hope is available for each one here. We're told in John chapter 3, Jesus said you have to be born again. You know, we're born once physically, we have to be born again spiritually. And then we can live eternally in heaven. We must recognize our personal need, ask Jesus to forgive us, to come into our life and to change us on the inside. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, if we believe and receive, then we can become one of his children. We can be sure of our personal salvation. So information and action is required. It might be comparable to getting a coupon in the mail from McDonald's or wherever you say, well, yes, I believe the coupon is legitimate, but if we just leave it on our table, it's no use to us. We have to take it down, turn it in, redeem it. So too, we have to accept Jesus' offer of eternal life. We have to say, count me in. I'm trusting in what Christ has done. And when we do, eternity can begin, even today. We can't hope to get to heaven by doing good deeds or by going to church. Our only hope is through Jesus. If there was another way, Jesus would not have come and died. So for now, because of Gladys's trust in Christ, we are confident that she's in heaven. For those who place their faith and trust in Jesus, heaven is our home. Heaven is our hope, our confidence. Paul reminds us that we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Our trust is in Christ. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Gladys had placed her full faith and trust in Christ, so we're confident she'll be in heaven. In this passage in John chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to encourage Martha, and he talked about the future hope, the resurrection. And he said, do you believe this? Jesus could be asking the same question of us today. Do you believe this? There's always a personal response required. We each have to reach out and receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus offers. Each of us must ask ourselves, do I believe these words? Then we can be confident that we're one of God's children heading for heaven. For all the times we talked to Jerry and Gladys, I know that it would be Gladys' greatest desire to see her family and her friends in heaven. May I encourage you that if you have not said yes to trusting in Christ for your salvation, today is the day. Christ is waiting for us to reach out to him. We never know what the future holds. Jesus is the one who died and rose again. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. As believers, we know there will be a final resurrection and we can look forward to the hope of heaven. Here's a few verses from Revelation that tells us a little bit about what heaven is like. Revelation 21, it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He said there'll be no more dying or sickness or pain. Even now, we know that Gladys is enjoying eternity with God. Amen. What's our hope? Our only hope and confidence is trusting in what Christ has done for us. When we trust in what Christ has done for us, then we too will have the confidence of seeing Gladys again in heaven. Faith is very real, ever-present help in this time of challenges. Later on in John chapter 11, tells us that Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus knows all the emotions that we're feeling, all the things that are going through our life. He sees our pain and grief and loss. He sees each heart. He knows each one. He desires to be our source of strength and grace and hope as we move forward. I'm going to pray for us. Lord, again, we acknowledge that our only hope is in you. At times we do wonder why things happen, what happens around us, those we love. But we know from your word that you are trustworthy and true. We're placing our full faith and confidence in you, Jesus. I do pray for Jerry, Lord, that you would be gracious and merciful to him. Thank you for his trust in you. Strengthen his faith. Walk with him in these days. For each of the family members, Lord, you know their hearts, the thoughts, the pains. I pray for grace and comfort and strength for each of them, that they would know you are with them, and they too would place their faith and confidence in you alone. Our only hope is in you. Thank you, Lord, for each one who's gathered, so we demonstrate our love and care for Gladys. Thank you for her life and for her memory. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have because of Jesus. Amen. Just before we conclude here, we're going to have a pictorial tribute. Thanks to the family for sharing those memories. Gladys will be missed very much. Faithful wife and mother, grandmother, great-grandmother and friend. Sing one more hymn so we conclude In the Garden.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I love that video presentation. I wasn't sure about some of those earlier pictures, if that was really you or not, but if you say those are you, then okay. We're going to sing this last song, I Come to the Garden Alone, and I was just thinking about how often Gladys walked the hallways at Convent Park, and over the last number of years, that was sort of her way of getting exercise. She'd go one floor, and then she'd walk up to the next floor, and while she was doing that, she would sometimes see people and encourage them and welcome them and once in a while pray for them and just love them, you know. So it's kind of like her garden. That's what this song is about. You know, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And like Pastor Andrew just talked about, there's nothing better than that, that when Jesus looks at you and he says, you're my own. You belong to me. You are my daughter. You're my son. And I was thinking, too, if you don't mind me just saying one more little thing. I remember, you know, one of the memories I have, one of the best memories is going out for supper with you guys. And I think we did it about 2 or 3 months ago with a bunch of the friends. And we always go to this Chinese food place in town that will be nameless. Although Jerry calls it Piggy Palace, yeah. And so we go to Piggy Palace, and we won't identify where that actually is. And I was just thinking, you know, where Gladys is now, it's not Piggy Palace, but the great feast, the wedding feast of the bride of Christ and his church is coming, and it's just going to be called the Palace, and it's the kingdom of our God and of our Christ, and it's going to be so much better than Piggy Palace. And there's nothing that Gladys would want more than that we would all be there with her and with her Jesus. Let's stand. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the sun of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He walks in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me and he talks with me.
and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we conclude here, just to extend an invitation to join with the family following for some goodies. So we'll ask you to, even for the family to stand together as we say the benediction. Now may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, comfort each one here today. Amen. Please follow the family as we exit.